All right, so at this time, what we would like to do is to open this place for questions and so on, because we know that some of you have come with questions and you would like to ask them.
Good evening, Alexis.
Hello.
I've come with two burning questions.
Burning questions. Oh, yes, our favorite kind.
The first question I have been kind of wrestling around with for a long period of time and going through a lot of thought and anguishing about. And I know that you've said that you guys, that a person can hide themselves away from the world and get under the covers. And then the question is, but are you safe from yourself? So I've been working on myself around this issue quite a bit. And it within the last 24 hours, it may have moved a little bit. But I still am wondering if maybe the situation itself is not right for me, and mm-hmm. that the smart thing to do would be to do something else. And you're talking about my situation at work, at my job.
Mm-hmm.
I work long hours. I drive 100 miles a day. I don't make any money. You know, I make like $25 a day, and I can't pay any of my bills or buy food or anything like that. And in spite of a lot of self-work and a lot of self-growth, I'm still, you know, not making any money. And so I'm wondering if you could look at me and say, maybe the thing you're doing right now is not the right thing to be doing. You should think about changing to something else. Or you should look at me and say, well, you're still stuck in poverty consciousness. You need to work on yourself a little more. I don't know which way to go with this.
All right. Well, look at what you're doing. You're driving 100 miles a day. You're barely making enough to survive. And actually, you're not able to cover all your bills. Look at how you're valuing yourself. You're devalued yourself. You say it's better to do this and to not quite cover the bills than you have this big fear space that says, if I don't have anything to do, I'm just going to fall apart. My life is going to collapse. I'll be out on the streets eating out of garbage cans.
Yeah, it's kind of close to that now, and so I think if
right,
I don't have a
right.
job, then
but you
there's
see,
nothing.
Your value is demonstrated by what you're doing, and you're not valuing yourself. If you value yourself, guess what? You can attract money to you. Because look at what people think money is. People think money is value. Right? So it's not that it really is. But you need money to work in this reality. You need it to function. But you're not valuing you.
I've been working on that a lot, but obviously the money thing is not changing. It's kind of like a carrot. I keep thinking it's about to get better,
mm-hmm.
and then it doesn't. It stays the same.
Well, as long as you keep driving 100 miles a day and only making $25 and not being able to pay your bills, you are demonstrating that you are willing to devalue yourself.
Uh-huh.
You see, if you say, hell, I'm not going to devalue myself anymore. I am worth more than this. And so you tell your employer and says, sorry, I am worth more than this. I insist on a raise that makes it worth my while to drive 100 miles a day and work long hours. And if you won't give me more money, then I have to go somewhere else. I'm worth more than this.
That kind of came up this week.
Mm-hmm.
I refused to go to certain places, and the boss sent me a letter, chewed me out, and said that, you know, this is insubordination. You have to go where we tell you to go, basically.
Right. Well, it's putting it on the line for you. Who are you? Are you valuable? Do you have something valuable to offer? And yes, you do. You have a lot of gifts and talents and capacities. You've done lots of different things over the years. You have many different ways and resources through which you could create money. But what you're saying here to yourself is, I'm not valuable enough to get something better than this.
Yeah, a lot of that's fear. It took a
it's
year and 9
fear.
Months to find this job.
Mm-hmm.
So part of me goes, well, if you don't hang on to this job, you know, you can't live for a year, another year without getting money. So it looks like a box. It looks
yes,
like a
you're
very,
in a box.
Very tight box.
You're in a box. And the box that you have here is a box that's delineated by fear. Now, that fear is an illusion. But it's scary enough to you because you look at the future through the filter of that fear. And you say, oh my gosh, I better compromise right now. Because otherwise, it's going to be terrible. Didn't you notice how you got this job just when you thought that you were going to, everything was falling apart and you weren't going to make it?
Yes.
You see, you have a program that saves you. It's an 11th hour program. It's a little dramatic, but you got it. You can count on it.
Well, yesterday they told me they were going to start having me work in Burbank, which is very close to my house.
All right.
And so I'm feeling like, well, that's looking quite a bit more hopeful. Maybe I should give this a shot and see if I can start to make a living without driving all the way, all the time.
All right.
But what do you think?
This could be an opportunity for an increase of value. Now, isn't it interesting that you got this offer at the same week that you got a letter about your insubordination?
Yes. It came a day later.
Hint, hint, hint. When you stand up and set your boundaries, your reality responds. You created that. So instead of driving 100 miles a day, what are you going to be driving now?
About 30.
There you go. How much do you save in gas? 70 miles a day of gas?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
All right, right there. Okay, so you just got a raise.
And I should be getting paid more for these jobs too.
There you go. All right. So what we would suggest is to lift your value, set your boundaries, and say, I'm not going to just, you know, kiss ass. I'm going to hold my resonance. I'm going to hold my vibration. I'm going to hold the sense of value. I am valuable to this company, and I can do a really good job in Burbank.
Some of this, and I know this, I'm not trying to say this is an excuse for anything, but all of the people that work there are the same. You know, they're willing to drive 100 miles a day and work 13 hours for $50 a day. And so it's kind of it's part of the culture there. It's sort of expected that you're just going to do what they tell you.
Well, what office do you go to now, or what have you been going to?
The office is in Temecula, and most of us work from our homes, and we're given our day's assignments. And it's crazy. It's less than minimum wage for just about everybody. And everyone kind of gripes, but no one says, we won't do this anymore. This isn't right.
Well, because everybody's in a fear box.
Yeah.
And fears that they don't have enough value. This is a culture that has given everybody shame. Shame being that perception that you're never, ever good enough. That somehow or another you're flawed, you just can't do it. That you have to settle because you're not valuable enough to select what you want, to get what you want.
Yeah, I think I really do feel that sense that, you know, I'll never get paid a regular wage like other people. I just don't have anything to offer.
Yeah, but you see, that's totally false. It really is. But you've rationalized it to pretend that what's true is the negative, rather than think about all the things that you've done over the years and all the talents that you have. Yeah, the talents that you have developed, that you enjoy the most, are things you do at home, yes?
Mm-hmm.
You know, your own little creative things.
Mm-hmm.
Look at, see what you can use there as fodder to create some money, because you have more fun doing that.
I think about that, but I don't see any way of getting money out of it. I guess my imagination is limited about it. I can't.
Your imagination, when it comes to money, tends to be a bit limited, yes.
Yeah.
Because of the shame. Because you accepted this whole shame condition. All right? So what would it be if you lived outside that shame, if you were free of it? If you were free of that perception that you don't have enough to offer to get a decent living wage. What if you scrapped that belief? Like, what was your future self like? How much value did she have for herself?
She was very centered in herself, so that she knew her worth and didn't feel like she had to prove it to anyone.
There you go.
Show it to anyone.
There you go. So what would it be like if you lived your day practicing being there?
It would be pretty different.
Absolutely. You wouldn't put up with crap.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
But then you wouldn't attract so much either.
Yeah.
You realize people who know their worth and know their value will attract value.
It's true.
All right? They'll attract more money. They'll attract more support. They'll attract more of whatever it is that they want.
Yeah, that's true.
So practice it. Hold your resonance. Connect with that future you, hold that resonance, that certain sense of self-acceptance, and just knowing that you're okay, that you're valuable, you're worthwhile.
Ever since I first come to Galexis, I work on that all the time. I mean, I constantly repeat the thing that you say about I'm a being of infinite worth and infinite value.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep thinking I've come a long way, but maybe
I've
got a lot.
But dear one,
to go.
Yes, you have come a long way. But what the way growth is and the way your reality is structured is that as you come a long way, the reality will give you, whatever it is that's left for you to break free. And you will perceive that as being a bigger challenge. And it isn't. It's feedback. Your reality is giving you feedback. It's mirroring back to you where the places are in your psyche you need to work with.
I've had that impression that it's mirroring back kind of the dregs of what's still down there.
Right. And it's what it's mirroring back to you is the old shame that's left over from childhood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your eight-year-old is still there.
Yep.
All right. So we'd suggest maybe just do some extra loving to your child self. Extra loving to your adolescent self, extra loving to your young adult self, and let them go. So you don't have to be there anymore. You don't have to call them up and resurrect them and say, here, go deal with this for me. Because that's kind of what it's like. You feel a certain feeling that you felt when you were a child, so basically that's a signal for the child to come up and deal with it and respond. And you don't want your child self responding. You're going to another level entirely.
I've been doing exactly that kind of intensely for the last 9 months, what you're talking about.
Letting the child self do the responding?
No, noticing when the child self
right,
is doing
good.
The responding and making a different choice.
Good, good. And so that means that you've come a long way. It's reinforcing what you said.
Yeah.
You have. Acknowledge it.
Yes.
And acknowledge that now the reality is sending you a new challenge. Because you were insubordinate, you set down your boundaries. No, I'm not going to do that. And then all of a sudden, an opportunity to work in Burbank instead. Your reality is giving you great feedback. You can work your way with your reality out of this job or into something that can be lucrative for you. On this track you're going on. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
But you got to be strong enough to be able to put your foot down and have some boundaries and not let them be sucked dry, giving your power away to somebody. That's where everybody who works with that company has lost it. They've given all their power away.
Yes, yes.
And the fear is keeping them there. You cannot let yourself be there either. So are you going to start in Burbank next week?
Yes.
All right. So just know you're starting out in a new place. Okay? Keep your resonance up. Keep it up. Keep it up. And you'll find yourself continuing to have better income, better ascent, you might say, into success. But recognize that that old shame pattern has got to go. You cannot accept any of it anymore. You got to work with your future instead of your past now. Let them go. But the future, bring the future in. How would my future self handle this? You ask. You know, in during your day.
Very good idea. Very good suggestion.
You know, the Christians have this thing, what would Jesus do? And that's some of the most distorted answers we've ever heard. You know, as if Jesus, you know, likes to go to bars and, you know, play the guitar. And but anyway, the point is that give yourself a hit of your future self every morning before you head out, so that you keep your resonance up, so that you attract to yourself the most lucrative connections.
Okay. Thank you very much. I have another question.
And second burning question.
The second burning question is this. I've had a chronic health problem for about 15 years, and I have spent so much energy doing the doctor thing, doing the alternative medicine thing, and it just doesn't improve, and it saps my strength so completely. It makes everything else much harder to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if you could look at me and maybe suggest some ways of kind of getting past this. I have a chronic sinus thing. And, you know, usually in the morning when I wake up or in the afternoon, I get these red patches right under my cheeks, and I get a really bad headache. And it makes me exhausted. Like, I come home from work, and I go directly and get into bed, and I stay there for hours.
Right. That's very debilitating.
It's very debilitating.
You've got some a good toxic stew going on in your head. Yeah. Some of that is a certain malformation of your cranial bones, which can be corrected with NCR. Didn't you, Daniel, didn't you have a healing of your sinus issues with NCR?
Yes, it improved. The NCR improved it, and then also the colloidal silver and the quinton water.
Right. Colloidal silver put up your nose, you know, can attack a lot of that really festering stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to move your cranial bone so that your sinuses can tilt correctly and drain.
Yeah, I'm always pushing with my hands onto my fingers into my sinuses, like really hard. And it makes the pain go away while I'm doing that. And when I stop, it comes back.
Right, right. But, you know, it's in way down inside there. You can't really reach the place.
Right.
It's like an itch you can't scratch, really. So that's what we would suggest. There's certain mechanical issues that are at problem here. Because if your sinuses can't drain, then they just have just the right environment to grow bacteria and all sorts of things.
Right.
Fungus, yeast, you name it. It's really easy to do. And then your head has to drain the lymph, to drain it down. And if it gets stuck in there, then the lymph gets backed up.
Right.
Did you ever have
yes.
Tonsils?
No, I did have lymphatic massage. I thought, yes, what you were going to say.
Oh, no, but you have tonsils still?
I do, yes.
Oh, okay. Well, the tonsils probably have to deal with some of it, too. But your lymphatic drainage is important from your head. But you can't really get it to clear out until you have your bones repositioned.
Okay.
Your sphenoid is off. Your bones are compressed too much in a certain way.
Okay.
So you can talk with the channel and Daniel afterwards. You can go on to the GalexisSpirit.com website, and in the links or recommendations, there is NCR or neurocranial restructuring.
Okay, and you think that'll help, and then I can get my energy back again?
That makes a huge, huge difference.
Okay.
It really does.
That's
it makes a huge difference, but it's something that where you go inside the head and open it up from the inside and reposition the sphenoid bone, which is the one that's kind of goes through the middle of your head.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you very, very much.
All right. Now, there's another factor that goes with the sinuses, and that's the spiritual emotional, and that's crying. there's a part of your soul that's crying, a part of you that cries in misery and loneliness or feeling separate or feeling lost or something. There's a crying. There's a little bit of self-pity with it, perhaps, but mostly it's a sense of crying. And again, that is your child self. You understand what we're saying? That when you feel that kind of, maybe you feel a kind of loneliness sometimes, or you feel that you're separate from things, mm-hmm. or you feel kind of lost,
mm-hmm.
your child self would like to just crawl into bed and cry. Mm-hmm. Or your adolescent self would just cry yourself to sleep. You see, it's these tears, this crying. It's kind of emoting. So maybe what also can help for you is to kind of get out emotion, just kind of, you don't have to cry, because crying, of course, as you've noticed, it probably aggravates the sinuses.
Really
everything
badly.
Gets really plugged up.
Yeah.
You know. So what you do instead is that you do it with breath. And you move emotion out of your head. You breathe in and then you throw the emotion out of your head. Okay, you can just throw it. Do you have any water? We would suggest if you have any water, like a glass of water by the sink or something, you can you throw it into the water glass and then pour it down the drain when you're done?
Okay.
All right. And also, go and tell your child self she doesn't have to cry anymore. Give her the perfect life so she's happy. Okay?
Okay.
Because she's feeling somehow or another she's disappointing everybody. And somehow or another she's got to abandon herself if she's going to survive. So give her all that love and support and a perfect life.
Okay.
All right. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Who's next?
Hi.
Hello.
It's very interesting because her questions dovetailed quite a bit with stuff going on in my life.
Surprise, surprise, surprise.
Yes, and I also have sinus problems. And I like the solutions, but I have given my child everything I can think of. So what am I missing?
Well, we don't sense that your child self is the issue for you.
Oh.
Yours okay. is mainly structural now.
Ah.
You see, one of the things that happens normally is that as you get older, your cranium tightens.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a sinus issue, it can get worse over the years. And if you sleep on your side and sleep on the other side, or whatever at night, or whatever, your cranium just gets more and more compressed. So that's why we suggest NCR, because that will decompress all of those features and open up the sinuses to drain.
Now, I did get my sphenoid straightened up at Quantum Touch.
Right. So now, you know, exchange with somebody mm-hmm. and get your sinuses lifted correctly or tilted correctly.
Okay.
Right, you can try that. Get your bones, skull bones, to expand. Okay.
Mhm. And it affects my ears so
right.
much. Yeah.
Right, and it's really jammed up.
Yes.
At least in one of the ears, it's really quite jammed up in there.
Yes, the left.
Yes, and it's kind of gotten hard in there, so that needs to be melted as well.
Ah. Okay.
So visualize it melting, or
okay.
have someone to work on you. And to visualize it.
Okay.
All right. One of the things that you can do is call in your higher self or your future self or call in us. And then step in to that self and then from that perspective look back at your body and do the quantum touch on yourself.
Ah.
From the perspective of the other.
Okay. I thought about using the mirror too. Does that work?
Yeah, it can. But you still are too much seeing yourself from okay. yourself.
Gotcha.
But if you can step outside of yourself, quote unquote, for just a little bit, through another perspective, through another filter, you will have that same impression that you have when you work on someone else that you're making some, making some advancement.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when you work on yourself, it seems like pulling teeth or something. It's just harder to do.
Okay.
So you create that sense of other.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Hello, Alexis.
Hello.
I have a question on the topic tonight, and I myself, and I hear other people who do a lot of spiritual work saying the same thing, and basically it's that, you know, I'm doing all of this spiritual work or inner work, and but I don't see this being reflected in the feedback mechanism of my reality. You know, I'm in the same
mm-hmm.
job situation or the same financial situation or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hearing from tonight that our future self really kind of is fed or supported by our ability to imagine that higher reality or that better reality. But I feel like there's a constant sort of battle going on between the feedback mechanism of our current reality and our ability to imagine a higher or better reality in the future. So I'm wondering, I guess my question is what can we do to strengthen our ability to imagine that better reality, despite the fact that we're still being fed the input of our present limited thinking or limited reality feedback that we're getting from our daily experience.
Right. Well, did you come to the evening stretching the boundaries of your imagination?
I believe I did.
All right. That is where we address that in detail, right? Because essentially, it is something that people are not trained to imagine. They're not trained to imagine a positive future and a positive self in the future. And what is happening is that because you are seeing the external reality around you as being, let's say, bleak or unhappy or whatever it is, you've given your power away to the external reality, to the feedback that your reality is giving you, rather than realizing it as feedback and empowering yourself with it. Now, when you give your power away to reality feedback, who are you? You're powerless. You are less than your reality. You are a victim, or you are, you know, that may sound like a really harsh word, but to a certain extent, you just have lost your power. You just are flat. You're not sizzling. You're not able to connect with the divine you because you have no clue what that divine you would be like. So that's true. You do need to stretch your imagination. You need to stretch and push those boundaries to imagine who you're becoming. And then step into it. But what you have tended to do is saying, oh, it's too hard. It's too difficult. I can't do it. My reality is too hard. It's the same old, same old, same old every day. I'm stuck here. But if you take responsibility for holding your resonance, for holding your light and really honoring who you are as the light being that you are, you stand up and you're in power and don't give it away to your reality, you have a different perspective on things. You can, just like we were suggesting earlier, you can, you know, step up and create boundaries. You can be stronger. You can do what you need to do. You can know your value and you can find people who will recognize it and who will honor it. But you see, if you don't know that you have value because you're continuously identifying with the past you, you from last week, 5 months ago, 4 years ago, if you're identifying with that you, where are you going to go? Then you are on a linear extension that you're just going to end up just continuing the path you're on. So that's why we talked about the future self. And that's why it's really important. Yes, we know it's hard if you don't practice it. If you haven't learned how to do it, yes, it's hard. It takes a certain amount of effort and will to do it. But recognize will and imagination are the key components of fifth dimension. And you're never going to get out of your stuckness in the box if you don't use will and imagination. And you have to use your will to make yourself imagine. Yes, it may not feel like that it makes any sense. So you get your notebook and say, okay, I have lots of, here's what I want in the future. I have lots of money. I have lots of this, lots of that. Everything's wonderful, da 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 da. And you go detail it down. Make a list. Then you go to another sheet of paper and you say, okay, who is the person that has that? What level of value would I have? How much confidence would I have? You understand?
I do. And is it also all right, without giving our power away, is it all right to ask our guides and helpers and also you, Alexis, for help in strengthening our faculties of imagination? Because I just feel like that's such a key component, and I've always felt like I'm not a real good visual type of person. And if I had more of those kind of visual tools, I could be a much better imaginer, and I feel like I need some maybe divine support.
Actually, you don't need to do it visually. If you can feel, if you can sense confidence, that's enough. Can you imagine what confidence is? Have you ever felt confident in your life?
Yes.
Okay, so step into that confidence and say, this feels good. I'm going to select this. You see? See, the thing is that what you're trained to do to avoid conflict, to avoid failure, is let's not do anything I'm not already good at. So guess what? Over the years, you won't do anything you're not good at. So then you lose, you know, if you don't use it, you lose it. So after a while, you don't have access to that level of imagination because you haven't been using it. You have to create it anew. You can create new brain pathways. Science, for a while, thought, hey, you get so many brain cells and you don't get any new brain cells and they just kind of deteriorate over time and you get stuck with these pathways by the time you go into your 20s. And these are pathways you're stuck with the rest of your life. And they have found that this is BS. You are capable of repatterning, recreating your brain. But it takes work. It takes effort. It takes will. It takes a willingness to fail, even. A willingness to make a mistake. Oh, heavens, a mistake. Now, yes, you've made mistakes, and you can kind of feel like, oh, yeah, I've made mistakes in my past, and so on. But to be willing to go and make a mistake now and in the future gives you a tremendous amount of freedom to stretch. Nobody's going to judge you but you. If you stop judging yourself, you don't have a problem. You can stretch, you can grow, you can change. You're going to have to change somewhere in there. You're going to have to make a big change. And you want it to go to that future self you'd like to be. So the more delineation and clarity you can put in there about what are his qualities will tie you into your change, will enable it to be easier. And of course you can call on us to help you. Call on us anytime you want to sit down and you're going to really focus on this and try to get this and all that. Call us in and call all your friends in and we'll just kind of surround you. And then you start. Then you proceed. Okay?
Thank you, Alexis. Just on that note also, I've been taking your suggestion of calling you in before I sleep to, you know, have work done while I'm sleeping. And I'm always looking for, like, some kind of a sign or a feeling or an indication. And I don't know if I'm just not perceptive enough to pick up on anything. But are you getting my request?
Yes, of course. And here's what you look for. When you call us in, give us some shitload of stuff, right? And have some requests of something you want us to work on, all right? Work on this chakra or work on this issue or whatever it is, and do some clearing for me. And let's do some, you know, tune up and, you know, just give us a bunch of, you know, your laundry list there. And then when you wake up in the morning, just sense, okay, do I feel just a little lighter than when I went to bed? That's generally the way it's perceived.
I've been getting that in the morning when I wake up.
Right, right. Then that when you feel that little lightness in the morning, there's this moment of like clarity or cleanliness energetically around you before you get into the day and stuff like that. That's an indication you've received some healing.
Okay? Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Getting a lot out of these love and healings.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, we're so delighted to be able to provide them. All right. Who's next?
Hi, Alexis.
Hello.
My question is, actually I had it in the last workshop I was here, which was healing your parents. I think it has to deal with if you had an abusive childhood, like if you can still heal within the same, I guess, maybe I should change the question.
Okay.
I think the purpose, isn't the purpose in life to heal from our past and our past karma?
No, it's one of the choices that you make is to do that. There are a lot of people who never do it. And so they stay stuck there, but you didn't want to stay stuck there. So you wanted to do some healing work and move on, right? So that's you, all right?
Yeah. So, but I think last time I spoke with your channeler, they told me that I could be protected anywhere.
Well, you see, if you want to heal with your parents so that you are free of that limiting and painful influence that they have brought into your life, okay? What you want to do is to look at them with compassion from a position of being beyond their reach. We just talked about it tonight, being the future, your future self. Okay, let's say that your future self in 3 years, you want your future self to be totally free and just totally healed about your parents and living your life in a joyous way. All right, so from her perspective, your future self's perspective, how would you perceive your parents? You see, if you're a child, you perceive your parents one way. They're like walking gods and authority figures, right? Mm-hmm. If you're a adolescent, you perceive your parents as those people who are somehow in your life to make your life miserable. And to resist everything you want to do, you know. And then there is, you know, so what would it be if you were looking at them from another position that they no longer have that power over you? They no longer can make you feel unsafe. What would you feel? Where would you be? What would you think about them? You would be able to see their weaknesses. You would have compassion for their issues. Your parents have issues, and you know that.
That almost sounds unbelievable.
That's why we call it imagination. Okay, imagination is what takes you to the other side of the divide, and you turn around and you perceive back where you have been. And you see it through a different filter. What if you were filled with power and vigor and you were feeling absolutely loving and you were free and you felt totally safe? What would that feel like?
I know I've experienced that because I went through seminars, but I remember when they were coming to visit me, I felt a lot of emotional pain.
Yeah.
Like they were going to come and like... You know, I remember I went to a seminar when I was 18, and I remember like, it was like a, something called Teen Insight, and or it was like a self-help group, and then at the end we all felt like happy, and our parents came to visit us, but my parents never wanted me to go really, it was like on my own initiative, rather than other teenagers who had their parents make them go, for mm-hmm. the self-esteem. I went on my own to improve my self-esteem. So I guess it was, I remember like feeling really uncomfortable with my father, but I like to believe that it's just on my mind, that I can just change that.
Well, you know, at that time, they disappointed you, in a sense, because you were looking at the other people who were there, the other teens that were there, and they had supportive parents, and you felt jealous. Why couldn't mine be supportive? Why do I have to make all the efforts yeah. to grow? And so you're really pissed at them.
Mm-hmm.
You're really angry at them, mm-hmm. and you've judged them. Of course they've judged you. That's their parents. You know, they end up falling for it, you know.
Okay.
If you've ever, you know, those of you who are parents, you know you fall for that one. And then you go, oh, gosh, you know, look, what did I just do? And so they're doing that in order to kind of keep, they did that when you were young to kind of keep you under control, because you're a little bit of a challenge to your parents, because you had a certain dynamic of change they didn't understand, and they still don't.
Uh-huh.
They don't comprehend your path. Your path is totally different from your parents' path. Never the twain shall meet. But you have to have compassion for them, because they are lost in their own place.
Yeah.
You don't have to judge them, but they're lost in their own ignorance. Mm-hmm. They're lost in, they want their lives to be safe, and by safe, meaning consistent, reliable, repetitive, and, you know, within the sphere of what they think they can handle. And that's what they want, because that's the safest thing for them. And they have big issues with safety. That's why they do that.
Mm-hmm.
You got the issue of safety from them. But you are the one that says, I'm adventurous enough. Safety, what the hell? I've got to do it anyway. Sorry. I've got to be me. Somehow or another, I've got to get on my path. I'm being called.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And recognize that your call is so important. How much presence and power and confidence you must have had to take the initiative to take the Teen Insight training on your own without your parents encouraging you. I want to have self-esteem, so I'm going to go for it.
Thank you.
All right? Mm-hmm. Give yourself a lot of kudos.
Okay.
You're following your path, right?
Uh-huh.
And
yeah.
it takes a lot of effort if you've been stuck with parents who really just want the life to be this little box, and they want to stay in this little box.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be very upset at you for threatening their little box. So they're going to want to do control on you to get you to shrink back down into the box where everything is nice and safe and under control. All right? And it will never work. You'll never be able to do it. And you know that, right? So what you want to do is to get out of the box, and instead of always being in resistance to your parents or using them as your reference points as to where you're at, okay, here's I am, and there's my parents, so now I know that I'm over here and they're over there. If you use your parents as your reference point, you're not going to get free of them. You're not going to be free, because you see your growth only in relative terms to them. Right? So if you're going to do it that way, then imagine what it would be like, and we stress the word imagine, okay? Imagine what if you were older than your parents and wiser, okay? Just imagine. Just step into, let's say, how old are your parents?
51, 2, 3.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Imagine you're 55.
Mm-hmm.
And you're a wise, wise woman. And people come to you for advice. You have lived a phenomenal life, and you are absolutely glorious, gloriously free. You love. You are empowered. You have success. You're living a good life at 55. Now, from the age of 55, look at your parents. You know what they went through. You're past them. You know, you see their fear. You see their traps in their own psyche. It's totally evident for you. And you have tremendous compassion to them. Also, let this 55-year-old look at the you you are now and have the compassion for you and to see the rage and the anger that you're stuck with. That if you let that go, you can get into your passion.
Can I let that go while I live there, or do I need to be somewhere else in order to live there, in order to let that anger go?
The challenge would be to be able to do it while you're there.
Uh-huh.
Because essentially what you've come to learn with these particular parents is how to be yourself under all circumstances, regardless of what your external life is. Like we were, you know, talking earlier about financial deprivation and a harsh external reality over here. Your parents are your harsh external reality. But if you hold your resonance and you have compassion for them, it's amazing how many breakthroughs can happen. You can possibly even, to a certain extent, make peace with them. And they'll feel safer with you. But as long as you're angry and filled with bitterness and you're resentful of them and you're rebelling against them, they will never feel safe, so they will always try to control you.
But what I'm doing right now is probably rebelling against them.
Yeah, you're doing it, playing your rebellion card. Now, rebellion is fine at the age that you are. It's important to rebel. You rebel in order to find yourself as a separate identity from your parents.
Mm-hmm.
So we would suggest that if you can find another place to live for a little while and get on your own feet, in a sense, to find your way, and to care for you and to love you and to build you up, that would be very good. That would be very, you know, that would be very helpful. It would be an accelerated path.
Thank you.
But if you don't have that option and you must live with them because of financial considerations, et cetera, et cetera, then you must learn how to be the radiant one, the compassionate, loving, caring one, so that they can feel safe. And then they'll get off your case. They won't always be bearing down on you. They won't want to keep changing you and getting you back in the little box. They're only doing that because they're scared.
Uh-huh.
You see?
Well, I think there's stress because I have a nephew, and my sister doesn't really take care of him all the time, and they put her down, and I'm like, kind of like.
They put her down? That sounds like what you do to a dog. Or a horse.
They tell. Sorry. They tell her. They say she's a bad mother, and then my dad tells her, oh, she's a bad mom, you know, look at her. Like, she doesn't have a job, and this and that. And I'm like, you know, you can't. Like my dad, like, you don't have to say that to her, you know, that's not going to help her, you know, get better.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister got involved with the wrong man, and so she has a 2-year-old, and so I guess.
So they're going to just keep giving her grief to kind of rationalize that, you know, she did it all wrong and so on, and so that they're totally justified and they're off the hook. They're not responsible for any things that she did, and boy, if she had just listened to them.
Yeah,
that she would have, her life would have been okay now. She wouldn't have had all these problems. Damn it, why don't you listen to me? You know, and so they're in that rationale place. It's a control place.
Yeah.
They're trying to get her into the box too. But she won't go back into the box either. She just won't. Neither of you.
Okay.
Neither of you can be in that box. It's stultifying. It's deadening. It's just too black in there. It's a control box. You're imprisoned if you go there. And you know, you've tried, damn it, and then you felt imprisoned and you had to break free again. So you've gone there, tried, and oh, can't stand it anymore.
Well,
break
I think,
free.
I know I can go home, I think. I just have these fears I'm going to die or something in my sleeve. I don't know why I have that. I like go
no,
home.
No, no.
Oh my God, what if I die?
It's a symbolic death that you're afraid of.
Okay.
The symbolic death is that if you go home, that you die to your spirit, to your spiritual self.
I see.
That you will let go of too much of who you are and give up to them and then lose your life that way.
I see.
But you see, if you make a vow, a commitment of loving yourself and periodically step into that 55-year-old wise woman that you could very easily be, and who knows how many years it is between where you are now and there, but that one who has this perspective, mature perspective, of expanse and acceptance beyond the whole pale of your parents and so on, she can look out your parents with compassion. Right now, it's a little hard for you to do that because they're heavy and on your case. They're wanting to come on, settle down. You know, look what happened with your sister. We don't want that to happen to you. You've got to, you know, bite your tongue, you know, dress right. You got to, follow the rules.
I dress right.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good.
I never always clear myself here. I don't show cleavage.
Oh, is that the main thing they have? That's their issue, huh? Is cleavage, huh?
Yeah, my dad used to make fun of my younger sister also has a 2-year-old. She's 22. So it's like, you know, my dad's like, why didn't you tell me that she was dating that guy? And because I was basically trying to defend my younger sister to live her life.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like I was her parent. And then when she got pregnant, it was like my dad got mad at me. Why didn't you tell me that? So, but anyways, this is
oh,
good.
Yeah. Well, he just wants to blame somebody.
You helped me, Alexis. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah. But you know, they want to blame somebody so that they're
forgive
innocent.
Me for all the questions.
Your father wants to be innocent.
Yeah.
He just wants to stand in a position of judging everything so that he's seen as being important, wise, and above it all.
Yeah.
That's his ego need, okay? If you can understand that and you can have compassion that the reason he's doing that is because he is scared shitless, that he's going to fail, he's going to be a miserable mess, that if he's not careful, his life is going to be just totally holy hell. If you can recognize that all of this construct that your parents have is to protect themselves from the chaos, from the craziness, from change. And you can have compassion because, yes, change can be terribly scary for people who are brittle, who don't have capacity to be flexible and change. It's scary, really, really scary, and they'll do anything. So as you have compassion for them, then the anger that you feel at them, just do little meditations like every time your dad says something or your mom says something that really gets your goat, like, oh my gosh, and you want to roll your eyes and so I'm out of here. Instead, why don't you just go into your room, close the door, and just visualize them, tell them off in your meditation, and blow them up a whole bunch of times. Just get it, get that energy out of your body because it can get stuck in you. Just blow them up a few times, blow them up, or maybe chop them into little pieces.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, we know this is violent. It really does.
It sounds horrible.
See, you're afraid of really destroying the image of your parents because they've been so important to you. You fight that image. You want them to be like that in a sense because then that defines you. So... this is something you will understand over time. But in the meantime, if you obliterate the image that you hold of them inside you, while it may appear violent, it will release it out of your body so you don't carry it in your body. You can beat a pillow and pretend you're beating your dad into smithereens, you know,
just
something.
In my mind.
It's all done in your mind.
Not like hitting the pillow, because then they usually come by and they're like, what are you doing?
Right, you can do it silently. You can do it in your mind. You can blow them up, and then when you see them, and, oh, I'm still pissed at you, blow them up again. Okay, I'm bringing them up back. No, I still am pissed. Boom, you know, and you blow them up until you're done, until it finally comes up and you say, wow, okay, I'm not really feeling much now. I feel kind of clear with them right now. Okay, I'll stop now. And what's even better is that you can forgive him because
okay.
He doesn't know what the hell he's doing.
What I want, I think, in my life is just to be healthy and happy, so.
Just to be healthy and happy?
I think so.
That's a big ticket.
Because I know
happiness is huge. That means you have everything you need and want. Okay? And you've been deprived because of your parents. They don't give you what you need and want.
I love my parents,
mm-hmm.
And I think, I mean, I wish, I
But you don't want to take their stuff on you. So no, that's why you blow them up a few times and you get them all clear and out of your body, because you have a tendency, and women in general do have a tendency, a few men do, but women in general have a tendency to take on stress, emotional stress, into their bodies.
Yeah.
And it makes women sick.
Yeah.
So if you want to be healthy, you cannot let that stuff stay in there. You got to blow them away a few times, every day maybe, for a while. You know, really let it go. Let them go. And really clean them up.
Yes, so I actually remember when I went to your workshop on a few weeks ago, I woke up feeling kind of like peaceful, and then I was worrying about my mom, you know, if she cared, if I should call her or not. I'm older, but I was, you know, she always wonders where I'm at, or she worries about me, and so called her.
Yes. And what happened?
I called her and I felt like this anxiety in me, like, I better go home now because she doesn't want me out in L.A. So
you felt her fear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's good or bad. I mean, it's...
Well, for one thing, you can see it in one way.
Yeah,
it's a gift to her to help her feel safe.
Yeah.
For you to come home,
yeah.
Right? But also, you're motivated by fear. That
yeah,
if
like
you don't go home,
yeah.
That she's going to be miserable and upset, and that you are responsible for her being miserable and upset.
Yes.
And you feeling guilty.
Yes.
All right. So recognize what your motivation is in everything that you do. Recognize and get it to where your motivation is such that you can determine anytime you have to make a choice, what are your choices. And what motivation do you have to make those choices so that you can make a choice based on the highest, purest, cleanest, most empowered motivation? Now, you don't have much practice doing it. We understand that. But you can start anytime to figure out what is your motivation. And if you're as motivated out of guilt or fear, or shame, or anything like that, guilt or fear being the two biggies, then you realize, maybe I shouldn't do it. I need to wait until I can clear the guilt and the fear and then make a choice from my empowered self. Mm-hmm. You see?
Okay.
But you could technically live in the same house with them and be a free being.
Mm-hmm.
But it means that you have to really honor, respect, and love yourself. And hold your radiance without anger at them. Without any blame at them.
So can I love myself being there? Because it feels like...
Can you love yourself what?
Can I love myself?
Yes.
Being
you actually,
there?
Yes. You can love yourself anywhere. That's a good thing about it.
Okay.
Love travels.
Okay.
Love... Have love will travel.
I don't know why. I don't know why I thought I couldn't like love myself there, because it's like almost like sometimes I feel like I can't be there because I guess I limit myself.
Yeah, you do. By believing that. That's a limiting belief. That's why they call it a limiting belief. A limiting belief that you can't love yourself while you're living with your parents. Why? Because they somehow or another take over?
Because our energy is depleting, or it could be depleting. But
well, if you love yourself, they won't deplete you.
Because it radiates out, and then they...
Yeah, because
like
the energy radiates out, and you're protected.
I see.
You're protected from their sucking on you, right?
Okay.
And you don't lose your power, so your energy doesn't drain out of your energy field. You're in your power. You're in your love. You can be free. You can trust that the divine plan will work for you.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to practice it.
Mm-hmm.
You got to practice living as if it is true until it is.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. We have, what, 10 more minutes?
Yeah, barely.
All right. Anyone else? All right. All right. So why don't we just do a little juice up on you? Just real quick, a little grounding, a little tune-up. get yourself comfortable. And just let us put some energy into your root chakra. We're going to light up your root chakra. Beautiful red light in your root chakra. There we go. Just let it be nice and warm and liquidy. Maybe even hot and liquidy. Also, your second chakra, sacral chakra, right above the pubic bone inside there. Just let us put a beautiful orange light in there. Just fill that area, that little area there, with orange, warm, rich orange. Just let yourself open and let us put some orange in there. There we go. And now, go to your solar plexus now, your stomach area, and let us put some beautiful golden yellow there. All right, now, to your heart chakra, we're going to put a beautiful green, radiant, smooth, opening green. Expansive green. Let it be healing, let it be soothing. And now to your throat, to the very base of your throat. A beautiful blue. A sparkly kind of blue. An uplifting, focused blue. All right, now to your third eye. In between your eyebrows, right over your nose, a beautiful indigo blue, a bluish purple. You might feel a little tingle in there. Maybe not, but it's there. And now to the crown, the top of your head. A beautiful violet. And radiant above you is your higher self. The part of you that knows all your lifetimes, knows who you are, and knows your divine nature, and knows why you're here. Let that radiant light being, known as your higher self, the greater you, send a beautiful beam of light down into the top of your head now. And it sprays on the top of your head, a beautiful spray of light, a violet light. And it comes down and extends to your eyebrow chakra, and a beautiful spray of indigo blue light. That beam of light from your higher self going down to your throat now. A beautiful spray of blue light. Sparkling. And that extending to your heart, to your heart chakra. A beautiful spray of green. And we're just going to pause here a moment and let it just spray more. Come on, just Let it pump more. Let more light spray. More green light, more beautiful light. And in that green light, more beautiful white, golden, and other colors of light. Spraying, spilling, shining out of your heart chakra. And the beam extends to your solar plexus, to your stomach, a beautiful spray of yellow light. Extending now to your second chakra, your sacral chakra, a beautiful spray of orange. And down to the root, a beautiful spray of red. And from there, the beam continues down into the earth, all the way down to Mother Earth. At the core. And Mother Earth at the core hears, feels, senses the touch of your higher self and sends love, light, and energy and support back up. So let Mother Earth send her light, love, and energy in a beam that comes out of the earth and comes to your root chakra with a spray of light, a greater spray to the second chakra with a greater spray of orange. Now it's really getting brilliant. Moving up now, extending up to the third chakra, a spray of yellow, beautiful yellow, golden light, and it continues. Mother Earth sends her anchoring, her grounding, her abundance up to the heart chakra. A beautiful spray, an extra spray. An extra big spray. So just let that sit there for a little bit and recognize you can receive all that you wish. Mother Earth is willing to give it to you. Your reality is willing to give it to you. Your heart chakra expands even more, becomes radiant and effulgent, luminous, giving, filled with so much energy and vitality, you need to give it. It starts shooting out into the world to all those people you care about. You love people. There are people who you care about deeply. There are animals you care about. Send your love out to them. Connect. And the beam of light extends up to spray of light in your throat. It extends up to your third eye, a spray of light there, and up to your crown, a spray of light there. And the beam from Mother Earth continues up through the beam of light coming down from the higher self, blending all the way up. Mother Earth sends her love, her support to your higher self. And you're grounded and you're connected. And just let yourself feel the energy, feel the love, feel that you have infinite resource to give now without being depleted. Now, you can use this little technique. You can imagine it yourself at home to help just juice you up in times of challenge. When you begin your day or whatever you need to do, just anchor to higher self, to Mother Earth, and just spread your heart love to your world. This will put you in good form for the day because your future self is there already. Is doing it already. And the sooner you do it, the further along your future self can get. The greater your future self can be the next time you visit. All right, dear ones, it's been a pleasure working with you, as always. We always look forward to your beautiful energies. And to those also who are listening, We send you our love. We surround you all with our love and our light. Farewell.